Listen, Tom, if you're such a snob, why did you invite him to lunch? Demanded Jordan crossly. Daisy invited him. She knew him before we were married, God knows where. We were all irritable now with the fading ale, and aware of it as we drove for a while in silence. Then, as Dr. T.J. Eckelberg's faded eyes came into sight down the road, I remembered Gatsby's caution about gasoline. "We've got enough to get us to town," said Tom. "But there's a garage right here," objected Jordan. "I don't want to get stalled in this baking heat." Tom threw on both brakes impatiently, and we slid to an abrupt, dusty stop under Wilson's sign. After a moment, the proprietor emerged from the interior of his establishment and gazed, hollow-eyed, at the car. "Let's have some gas," cried Tom roughly. "What do you think we stopped for, to admire the view?" "I'm sick," said Wilson without moving. "Been sick all day." "What's the matter?" "I'm all run down." "Well, shall I help myself?" Tom demanded. "You sounded well enough on the phone." With an effort, Wilson left the shade in support of the doorway and, breathing hard, unscrewed the cap of the tank. In the sunlight, his face was green. "I didn't mean to interrupt your lunch," he said, "but I need money pretty bad, and I was wondering what you were going to do with your old car." "How do you like this one?" inquired Tom. "I bought it last week." "It's a nice yellow one," said Wilson, as he strained at the handle. "Like to buy it?" "Big chance," Wilson smiled faintly. "No, but I could make some money on the other." "What do you want money for all of a sudden?" "I've been here too long. I want to get away. My wife and I want to go west."
"Your wife does?" exclaimed Tom, startled.
"She's been talking about it for 10 years.
He rested for a moment against the pump, shading his eyes.
"And now she's going whether she wants to or not. I'm going to get her away."
The coupe flashed by us with a flurry of dust and the flash of a waving hand.
"What do I owe you?" demanded Tom harshly.
"I just got wised up to something funny the last 2 days," remarked Wilson. "That's why I want to get away. That's why I've been bothering you about the car."
"What do I owe you?"
$1.20.
The relentless beating heat was beginning to confuse me, and I had a bad moment there before I realized that so far his suspicions hadn't alighted on Tom. He had discovered that Myrtle had some sort of life apart from him in another world, and the shock had made him physically sick. I stared at him and then at Tom, who had made a parallel discovery less than an hour before, and it occurred to me that there was no difference between men in intelligence or race so profound as the difference between the sick and the well. Wilson was so sick that he looked guilty, unforgivably guilty, as if he had just got some poor girl with child.
"I'll let you have that car," said Tom. "I'll send it over tomorrow afternoon."
That locality was always vaguely disquieting, even in the broad glare of afternoon, and now I turned my head as though I had been warned of something behind. Over the ash heaps, the giant eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg kept their vigil, but I perceived after a moment that other eyes were regarding us with peculiar intensity from less than 20 feet away.